Hello, Internet, and you have found your way to another episode of Coffee Books Repeat. Thank you for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at Gingerman Editorial. Technical difficulties. These things happen. This was my first time. Anyway, that was because I am also monitoring the YouTube comments. I posted the link out on Twitter, and you can also just search for the channel on YouTube. It's Gingerman Editorial. Now, today I have none other than ML Moose. You might remember her from the inaugural episode of this podcast when we discussed rules that really maybe shouldn't be rules. And we are joined by a whole cast of characters, but today I have Moose all to myself. And she has a brand new endeavor that she wanted to introduce to you, my audience, and hopefully a lot more people. So take it away.
I've decided to start freelance editing. I've gotten a lot of good feedback from people in the past about my feedback for them, and I thought, why not try it out? So next this coming Monday, I will be launching Moose Editorial.
And yes, you will. Now, I'm curious, what, other than just a little, getting some feedback and everything, what else went into prompting you to start this?
I've been doing a lot of, when it comes to my writing career, I feel like I've been doing a lot of work already. I manage my own website, mlmoose.com. I manage the Turtle Writers website, turtlewriters.wordpress.com, which both involve a lot of blog writing. And that's on top of my own personal writing on my own projects. And then on top of that, I critique a lot of friends' writing and help them work through their stories and such. And it just got to the point where I felt like this was the next step to take.
Excellent. And that is, that mirrors pretty much my own journey. We've talked about that on Twitter a little bit, I pretty much did the same thing. I started reading stuff for friends, commenting, and decided, hey, will somebody pay me for this? Turns out, yeah.
I mean, there's still a little bit of that imposter syndrome going on, but, I've like I said, I've gotten a lot of really good feedback, and a lot of encouragement saying that, you know, that I can absolutely do this and that I'm really good at it. So,
well, I have no doubt that you are. And also, now, is there a specific genre you're going to be working in, or are you pretty much open to anything, or is there anything you're not open to?
I'm most familiar with young adult and middle grade, and within those categories, mostly fantasy and sci-fi. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty much open to just about anything, as long as it's not overly graphic. And I am not opposed to horror, but I should warn any readers out there, I don't actually read a lot of horror, so I might not be the best fit for you. So,
well, you know, it's good that you point that out too, because it's true that not every editor is a good fit for every author.
Right.
I've certainly had clients that I've had to say, I'm sorry, I'm not the guy for this project, man.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there is somebody else out there, but it's not me.
Right.
Now, so within reason, you're open to a variety of genres. Now, like, are we talking fiction, nonfiction?
Pretty much, mostly just fiction.
Okay.
I don't read a lot of nonfiction aside from like writing craft books and, maybe a few biographies, but, so While I will not outright refuse nonfiction, it's not exactly my wheelhouse. So.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I ask because I got into it not knowing exactly what people would wind up sending to me, and I have been sent everything. Everything from, let's see here. One of the more interesting ones was a visa application for a couple looking to move from Turkey to London to start an internet business. Yeah.
Wow.
Everything that from everything from there to dystopian
There you go.
Yeah.
Well.
You get to see you may get to see a lot of different things. And excuse me. Should have muted that. Took me by surprise. What can I say? One of the things that I found interesting about doing this is I'm always learning something new because of the things that people send me.
Right.
Whether it's a new type of story that I haven't seen before, or it's a nonfiction thing, like one of the things was a book called Corporate Superpower that just recently got published. It was a Ukrainian businessman, and we wound up working closely together and developing his concepts and ideas and making them helping to translate his ideas better for an English audience. So
Oh, cool.
there's another fun thing you might get. You might get a lot of people looking, a lot of people for whom English is a second language. So
True. Yeah.
you will likely get a lot of requests to help translate that a little bit, because even though they may speak it well,
Right.
there's a different part of the brain that's working when it comes to writing, and it
Right.
often shows.
Yeah.
But enough about all of that sort of thing. Now, of course, you're getting started. You're brand new, and I assume the website is mooseeditorial.com. Is that correct?
Right now it's
Under construction?
well I well it's under I'm launching it from my own personal website
Okay.
just to start, so which is just mlmoose.com.
Okay, all right.
But if it takes off as well as I'm hoping it does, then I might look into transferring that to a separate website.
Okay. And you have a whole logo and everything already associated with this, I know.
I do have a logo, which I created myself on InkSpace.
And it's cool.
I think it's cool, but
You know
not my
what?
final
Hey,
thing.
I now of course you have rates and everything. You're not doing this for free.
No.
So for anyone who's interested, what would they be paying you?
So right now it's I have three different levels of editing services that I'm considering. So the first one would be copy edits. So that would be $3 per 1,000 words, and that would be strictly like grammar, spelling, sentence flow, that sort of thing. So I wouldn't necessarily be looking at like the pacing of the story or the scene flow or any of that. It's mostly just like proofreading and that sort of thing. So with that, you'd get a copy of your manuscript with like misspellings highlighted, or well, with misspellings and like grammar issues fixed, and then suggestions for like sentence structure and that sort of thing. And then the next level would be structural edits, which will focus on the overall story. So that would be scene flow and pacing and imagery and that kind of thing. And so with that one, you'd receive a chapter by chapter review document, where basically I give my suggestions and thoughts on each chapter. And then at the end of each chapter review, there would be specific like page and paragraph notes labeled, so specifically which lines and paragraphs I'm talking about. And that would be $4 per 1,000 words. And then the third and final level is developmental edits, which would just focus on like the big picture issues, mm-hmm. like plot and character development and world building and that kind of thing. And so with this one, you get a feedback document covering each aspect of story structure. And on the website, I also have it noted that with this particular service, you might have to be prepared for some tough love. So with that one, it's going to be $5 per 1,000 words.
And you know, yeah, go ahead.
And that's not like I'm not expecting this to be like a straight and narrow sort of a thing. Like I said, I'm just starting out, so there's probably going to be a lot of kinks to work out in the beginning. So I'm sure there's going to be a bit of negotiating going on.
That's very possible. That's very possible. But I will tell you the same thing that my wife frequently reminds me of, and that's to don't forget to try to charge what you're worth.
Yes. And I'm not going to lie, my husband has repeated that exact sentiment to me several times as well.
Well, it's nice to know that the significant others are looking out for us.
Yes, yes.
But yes, you also do have to start somewhere, and that somewhere is probably lower than you want to.
Right?
But something I know all too well.
Everyone's got to start somewhere.
Yep. So. Yep, exactly. And I mean, I started out lower. Actually, I started out like $5 for 1,500 words. But that's because I started out on Fiverr using a third-party website. Mm-hmm. And the average there seemed to be $5 for 1,000. So I was like, well, I'm brand new. Nobody's ever heard of me. I got to undercut that.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what I've found in researching all of that, is that, you know, the really high end stuff is pretty up there. But then, you know, you got the really low end where they're basically, they might as well be doing it for free. So, this seemed like a decent middle ground.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And that's fair. It's a little bit to show for your work. And, if you're quick, it's not too bad.
Right.
Now, I think I found your logo. So I'm going to share my screen here and show the fine folks at home. Hopefully they can see it. There you go. It's a little small, I grant you. I'm sorry, but.
And actually, I just came up with an edited.
You changed it. That's not fair.
I did. I'm sorry. Well, see, the thing is, I asked a graphic designer friend of mine for his opinion on it. And so he gave me a few suggestions. And so I kind of took that to mind. And I would.
As well, you should.
I would absolutely share it with you all right now. This is why I write and not. Like
that's why I found the picture that I had instead of asking you to share it, because I had
right.
a feeling
yeah I mean I'm not like a total like computer dunce, but I'm not exactly a genius when it comes to this stuff either.
That's okay. Now you just recently had something else kind of cool happen.
Yes.
It was, I believe you had a short story published.
Yes, I did. I got my short story, Winter's Thaw, published on Tall Tale TV, which is an audio podcast.
Yeah, and they do a lot of this sort of thing, do they not? Showcasing yep. stories from currently undiscovered authors and whatnot?
Yeah. They twice a week, they post. They publish audio narrations of of short fiction and novel excerpts.
Yeah, so. And I actually listened to Winter's Thaw twice earlier today, and I really liked it. It was a very cool story.
Thank you very much.
And the guy did a really good job of presenting it as well.
I thought so too. I was so impressed with it.
Yeah. How many times have you listened to it? Did you lose count?
Can I plead the fifth?
Yes, you may. Now in the story, obviously it's for anyone who watches it, it's a fan, listens to it, I should say. It's a fantasy world setting. I'm curious, is this part of another story that you've worked on, or is this its own little thing? Or does this fit into some other world you've created?
It's a separate story, but it's set in the same world that my novel is set in.
Okay.
So it
fits nicely within that little world.
It does.
Now, are the characters anyone we would meet elsewhere, or no?
Now, it's an interesting question, because when I first wrote it, they were all completely brand new characters. And then after it got published, I was working on the novel, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, well, what if I just replace one of these other side characters I'd already had in the book and replace them with a character I've already written? What if I just replace them with Tabor?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know how those kind of ideas end up.
They grow.
I'm pretty sure that character is going to end up a lot more fleshed out than I'd originally planned for them.
So you intended it to be completely separate, just happens to be in the same world, but as characters and stories do, they got away from you a little bit.
They did. I mean I'm usually pretty good about keeping my characters under control, but gosh, every now and then they just surprise you.
They just wanted to. They just want to pop up. Be like, no, I belong here.
Right.
I can see that. Now, so how much can I ask you about Winter's Thaw without giving anything away about your novel?
Oh, just about anything.
Okay, because I'm curious about. Well, one of the things I found interesting about it as I was listening to it was that at least some of the magic, I forget, were they nymphs or fairies?
Fairies.
Okay, thank you. The water fairies, at the very least, have a music-based magic.
Yes. I found that interesting. All of the fairies, their magic is music-based. So the way it's set up right now, there is the earth fairies, mm-hmm. the water fairies, and the fire fairies.
Okay.
And so thus you have earth song, water song, and mm-hmm. fire song. So so the earth fairies can hear plants sing, and water fairies can hear water and any form of water sing, and fire fairies can hear fire sing. And that's how they make the magic work. They sing. Actually, what's funny is in an early draft, I decided that the magic system was becoming just a bit too complicated, and I wasn't going to be able to make it work. So I decided to completely rethink it. And then mm-hmm. and then I met my writer group. The paranormals, we like to call ourselves. and one of them, who was actually on the inaugural podcast episode, H. Ferry, he actually has a lot of experience in languages and that sort of thing. So it just sort of came up in conversation that I wanted a music-based magic system. And so the two of us just sort of connected, and it's actually gotten even more complicated than just music. And it's that it's not just music, but it's a language, like it's a music language. So rather than letters and words, they have melodies and jingles that mean different things.
Okay, no, that makes sense. I like that. Now, where did the idea come from? The inspiration for it, this a music based magic system at all?
You know, wow, that goes. I've been working on this particular project for several years, so that's one of those questions that kind of I have to dig back in the early years when I was first working on it.
It's not something you see every day, and I've only come across anything like that a couple of times.
Well, originally it was because there's another aspect of it, and that's that in the fairies in their smaller natural fairy form, which is like really, really tiny. They look kind of like dragonflies, but humans.
Tinkerbell.
Basically. And so in their smaller fairy form, they have, I like to call it fairy blindness. And basically it's that anything, so they see fire magic, anything with fire magic is red, anything with water magic glows blue, anything with earth magic glows green, and anything that's not born of fairy magic is monochrome. It's just black and white. And that was originally the entirety of the magic system. It was just this nebulous sort of thing that you tap into.
Yeah.
And then as I just kept writing the book, and I got to know my characters better, and I got to know the magic better, it felt more like my main character was actually, like, she wasn't just using magic, she was actually like communicating with the plants around her, like she was actually having a conversation, interacting with them.
Okay.
And then and from there it's like the light bulb just went off, and I thought, what if she's singing to them? Like, well, I think part of it might have come from, you know, hearing various stories of, you know, like farmers that go out and sing to their crops or whatever, you know.
That's interesting.
Granted, is not common, but I have read like children's book stories that you know, that talk about farmers that go out and they sing to, like
because
their plants aren't just their light, aren't just their livelihood. It's like their whole life. So it just seemed like there was a really organic connection there with her and the plants, and which also partly digs into some of her backstory. But so that's just kind of how it happened.
Okay, so it's just sort of a natural development of how it grew out of your characters, essentially.
Right.
Huh. That's
and
interesting.
Granted, part of it is probably due to the fact that I'm also a musician, so.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that, actually.
Yep.
Okay, for the people at home, what do you play?
I play the violin. I've been playing for a little over 20 years. And I can play the piano, but I don't like to say I do play the piano because I really don't know what I'm doing. I just sort of fiddle. So.
All right.
And I sing. So.
And you sing. Okay.
And I sing. Yes.
Well, there you go. Hey, you know what? There's a vibrant freelance market out there for people doing jingles and such. Just saying.
Oh, I can sing and I can play music, but writing music? Oh no. I've tried writing music a few times and I am awful. I am truly terrible at writing music. I know.
I will take your word for that. I have little room to Judge, I've never so much as tried writing music, and no one wants to hear me try to sing. It's bad.
Well, I think I will just take your word for that too,
then. Yeah, don't worry. So Moose Editorial, this is going live in about a week. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Coming Monday. Yep.
All right. And so you've got your rates all set. You've got your website. You've got your logo. And
yeah, got my logo.
And you're ready to go. Now, do you have in mind how much you're gonna try to do? You're gonna try to develop this part time as a full time thing.
Probably just a part time thing. I am also a mother of two young boys who are currently really kind of frustrated that they can't come into the office right now. I'm just gonna stick to part time right now. Don't wanna overload myself. So
that is good.
Well, and not only that, but if I wanna make sure I'm doing each project justice. I wanna give each project the time that it really deserves. Because if I'm not putting 100% into each project, then you're not getting your money's worth.
Nope, that is exactly right. And it's good that you've already thought about that, because, yeah, it's easy to find yourself in that situation once you kind of break the seal and get a few reviews under your belt. People will start coming to you more frequently, and before you know it, you'll be so busy you will have nothing else to do. So it's good. You've already given thought to that. That is fantastic, which means you're in a better place than I was when I started.
Well, I try.
Well, all right.
Honestly, if not for your encouragement, I would probably still be waiting to launch this for another like 3 months, because I do have a tendency to overplan.
Well,
I
I'm
just
glad
a kick in the butt to just get it done.
Good. I'm glad I was able to help get you started in whatever way I was, because I you're going to do great. I have no doubt about it. And so, Moose, unless you have anything else you would like to share with the audience.
Aside from letting everybody know about the Turtle Writers that has
been going for
a while as well.
Yeah.
So last year, last July, I want to say, is when it really sort of took off. And it just started with a conversation with me and Mecca James and Rosetta York.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about how we all write really slowly for for very yes. differing reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Me, because I have two young boys, which means I'm writing whenever I can get a chance. And for me and Rosetta, at least actually all three of us have a really bad tendency to edit while we write, which.
Really yeah. slows you down.
It's tough. Like, it's a constant, I have to constantly chant to myself, just get it written and fix it later. Just get it written and fix it later. And so it was just sort of a joke that Mecca threw out, hey, we even got a hashtag, Turtle Writers. Hey, look at that, we've got a club. And then, like, within a week, there were so many different writers all just jumping on board with this whole Turtle Writers thing. And then like a month later, there were so many people like, just, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm a slow writer too. Like, that's a real thing. Like, I don't have to pretend I'm churning out all of these massive word counts all the time. And so at that point we're like, okay, this is a big thing. And it's not just that it was getting popular, but it was more that it seemed to be like feeding a need, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Yeah.
It seemed like there were a lot of writers out there who were like, who needed this sort of a community. And so that's when we started the weekly questions. Every Sunday, there's a new question or topic to right. discuss, or if there's a holiday or something, we'll, mm-hmm. Do a shout out for a holiday. And then I want to say in May, I think, or March or May sometime is when we kicked off the website, turtlewriters.wordpress.com. So on there, you've got, we've got a bunch of resources where you can go, like books on writing craft that you can find, websites you can go to that help writers, and podcasts you can listen to, like this one.
Like this one.
Right. And there's the writing prompts. There's a whole bunch of writing prompts mm-hmm. that Rosetta posts every Wednesday or Tuesday. She lives in the UK, so sometimes it's hard to know if she's posting on Tuesday or if it's just anyway.
Especially for you. They're really ahead of you.
Yeah. Out here on the West Coast, I'm pretty much behind everybody. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff, and there's the blog, which we usually try and update every other week. So, yeah, it's a good resource that I think is helping a lot of writers keep mm-hmm. going when
oh yeah
they feel like just quitting.
Well, I can say actually that's one of the influences that's helped get me to start writing for myself again.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And it had, because I started working on a book like a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I decided it's like, okay, NaNoWriMo, here we go. Because it had been a long time since I wrote. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to at least try to do this. Just knock the rust off the gears. I was not expecting to, you know, write freaking Crime and Punishment or anything like that. This is just to get words on a right. page, get the juices flowing. And but then I all of a sudden started to get orders for editing and everything. I got busy, and before you know it, it's like that's on the back burner, and it hasn't come off the back burner for a long time. It's just as well, because even though it took me a lot longer than NaNoWriMo to get to 25,000 words, much less 50, it was still it was going to need to get trashed anyway. So I was like, okay, it needed to start over, which is fine. So, you know, Turtle Writers is actually one of the influences that has helped get me started writing for myself again, to actually carve out a little bit of space where it's like, okay, I don't need to fill every minute with working for somebody else. I can actually do a little bit on my own. And like the writing prompts that you mentioned that Rosetta posts up on Twitter, those are very helpful.
Oh, good.
Especially taking combining those with some advice I recently got from Arlen, actually.
Right.
And you can get all of that from the last episode of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And talked about how playing the what if game. What would happen if one of my characters saw this or they were doing this? And mm-hmm. that's actually, you know, combining that with those writing prompts is like, gave me a whole idea for a new scene.
Awesome.
In the book. So yeah, it's actually helping get the juices flowing, and hopefully eventually I'll have my prologue rewritten and ready to be passed around to be mercilessly critiqued.
Good.
In fact, maybe I'll just hire you to do it, since I can't edit myself.
Well, I certainly will not refuse. So.
All right. Well, hey, if you had anything else, any other projects or anything going on that you wanted to talk about, or anything before we sign off?
Nothing I can think of at the moment. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at mlmoothauthor@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. And how else can people find you?
I am on Twitter at mlmoose, or sorry, at mlmooseauthor. And I am on Facebook at mlmoose as well.
All right. Now, everybody, go out there and in about a week, when she gets it launched, hire Moose, get her some business. I know I'm promoting my competition right now, but that's okay. There's plenty to go around. So
good. Follow Moose at the places. I am immensely grateful for the recommendation. So.
And you are very welcome. So follow Moose at all the places, as she said. Follow me at Gingerman Editorial on Twitter, And you can email me at gingermaneditorial@gmail.com. And of course, if you just search for Gingerman Editorial, you will find me on Facebook, on YouTube, and maybe other places soon. We'll see. So for now, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coffee Books Repeat. We'll be live again on Friday, actually. I have an interview with Dragon Award-winning author Brian Niemeyer. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Author of the Soul Cycle series. So tune in for that this coming Friday. It's going to be pretty darn cool. And until then...
I've looked into his books and they sound really, really good.
Oh, yeah. They're amazing. They're a lot of fun. In a horrible, sadistic sort of way. All right. And on that note, keep your coffee handy and keep on writing.